Here's a number that should bother you more than it does. 70% of the Earth's surface has never once appeared on an air traffic controller's radar scope. The oceans, the poles, huge stretches of desert and jungle. For the entire history of powered flight, when an airliner pushed out over the North Atlantic, it effectively vanished from the surveillance picture and didn't come back until it raised the coast on the far side. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about the system that changed that, and the 66 satellites that made it possible. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make Aviation Challenge coins that mark the real milestones: first solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. If you've got a rating you're proud of, or you know someone chasing one, that's a coin worth carrying. AviationSoul.com. So let's start with the problem, because the technology only makes sense once you feel the size of the gap it's filling. Radar has a fundamental limitation. And it's not a technology problem, it's a geometry problem. A radar antenna sits on the ground and sweeps a beam outward, and that beam travels in a straight line while the Earth curves away underneath it. Somewhere out around 200-250 nautical miles, depending on how high the target is flying, the airplane drops below the radar horizon and the beam sails right over the top of empty ocean. You can't put a radar station in the middle of the Atlantic. There's no ground to put it on. So how did controllers separate traffic out there for the last 70 years? The honest answer is they didn't, not the way you're picturing. They use something called procedural separation. Pilots crossing the ocean would report their position by radio, by voice, every 10 degrees of longitude. Roughly once an hour, the controller would write it down, plot it on a paper strip, and do the math. And because those position reports were an hour apart and the airplane could be drifting or the report could be wrong, they had to build in enormous buffers. Here's what most people miss. On the North Atlantic track system, the highway of airliners running between North America and Europe, the standard lateral spacing between parallel tracks was 60 nautical miles. 60, longitudinally along the track, airplanes were kept 10 minutes apart in trail, which at cruise speed is something like 80 nautical miles of empty air. You had jets holding hands across an ocean at arm's length, all because nobody could actually see them. The data tells an interesting story about what that costs. The North Atlantic is the busiest oceanic airspace on the planet, something like 1,400 flights a day in the peak season, all trying to ride the same favorable winds, all wanting the same handful of optimal altitudes and the same efficient tracks. When you can only see your traffic once an hour, you can't give everybody the altitude they want. You freeze them at a level that might not be efficient, you deny the climb requests, and airplanes burn extra fuel flying at the wrong flight level because the system can't prove it's safe to move them. Now let's talk about the technology that's supposed to fix the seeing problem, and then the leap that actually did it. You already know the ground layer of this, or you should, because you're probably flying it right now. Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, or ADS-B. Let's unpack that name, because every word in it is doing work. Automatic, because it's always transmitting. You don't push a button, you don't get interrogated. Dependent, and this is the important one, because it depends on the airplane knowing where it is. The airplane figures out its own position from GPS, from the satellite navigation system, and then it broadcasts that surveillance. Because that's the job, knowing where the traffic is. And broadcast, because it's just shouting the position out into the open on a radio frequency, 1090 megahertz for most airliners, and anyone with a receiver can hear it. That's the beauty of ADS-B, and it's also the whole trick of today's story. A traditional radar has to send energy out and wait for it to bounce back. ADS-B airplanes just announce themselves, which means you don't need a big spinning dish to find them. You just need a receiver in a place where it can hear the shout. And in 2011, an American company called Aireon, working alongside the satellite operator Iridium and the air navigation service providers of Canada, Ireland, Italy, and Denmark, asked a question that sounds obvious the moment you hear it and was audacious at the time. What if we put the receiver in space? Think about it. The airplane is already broadcasting its position automatically right now over the middle of the ocean. That signal doesn't stop existing just because there's no ground station to hear it. It's going up and out in every direction, including straight up. Nobody was catching it. The information was there. It was just falling on empty water. So here's the architecture, and this is where it gets elegant. Iridium runs a constellation called Iridium Next, 66 operational satellites in low Earth orbit, about 480 miles up, arranged in six orbital planes that cross near the poles. unlike the satellites that beam you television, which sit way out at 22,000 miles and hang over one spot. These are low and they're moving fast, and critically, they cover the entire globe, every square mile of it. Poles included, Ariane's contribution was to bolt an ADS-B receiver onto every single one of those 66 satellites as a hosted payload, a passenger riding along on somebody else's spacecraft. And now, for the first time in history, every 1090 MHz position broadcast from an ADS-B-equipped airplane anywhere on Earth gets heard. Over the Atlantic, over the Pacific, over the North Pole, where the airlines fly the polar routes between North America and Asia and had been completely blind over the Sahara. All of it, the system went fully operational in 2019, and I want to be precise about what happened next, because it's a genuinely rare thing in aviation. A capability that had never existed simply appeared worldwide, more or less overnight. Let's talk about what it bought, because the pros here are not marketing, they're measured. Remember those 60 nautical mile lateral buffers on the North Atlantic, with space-based surveillance updating the position of every airplane every few seconds instead of every hour? The controllers running that airspace, NAV, Canada, and Britain's NATS, started cutting them down. They ran trials. They proved the safety case, and they brought lateral separation on parts of the track system from 60 nautical miles down toward 15, and in-trail separation from 10 minutes down toward 5, and in some trials less. What does that actually mean for the people in back and the airplane burning the fuel? It means more airplanes can get the altitude they asked for. It means climb requests get approved because the controller can see it's safe. It means an airplane can step up as it burns off weight and find the thinner air and the better winds instead of being pinned. NAV Canada has put out numbers suggesting meaningful fuel savings per North Atlantic flight. And when you multiply that across a million plus oceanic flights a year, you're talking about a lot of jet fuel and a lot of carbon that simply doesn't get burned. And then there's the reason a lot of people first heard about this at all. Search and rescue accountability. In 2014, Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 vanished over the Indian Ocean, and the world discovered, to its horror, that a modern wide-body airliner could disappear, and we genuinely would not know where. That accident sits in the background of this entire story, with space-based ADS-B, an airplane's last known position isn't an hour-old radio guess, it's a live track updated in near real time everywhere. Ariane stood up a free service for exactly this, giving rescue coordination centers the last positions of an aircraft in distress anywhere on the globe. That is a genuinely new safety floor under the entire system. Now, I told you at the top, I don't do hype without caveats, so let's be honest about the other side of the ledger, because there's real engineering tension here and pilots should understand it. Start with the word dependent. ADS-B depends on the airplane knowing its own position from GPS. So the whole surveillance picture, ground-based and space-based alike, is only as trustworthy as the satellite navigation signal feeding it. And GPS is a faint whisper from space that can be jammed, and increasingly is being jammed and spoofed in conflict zones around the world. When the navigation signal gets corrupted, the airplane confidently broadcasts a confident wrong position. The surveillance system faithfully relays it. That's a structural weakness in the entire dependent surveillance idea, and space-based coverage doesn't fix it. It just extends it everywhere. Second caveat, this is a receive-only system, and it hears what airplanes choose to broadcast. Everything I've described assumes the airplane is equipped, powered, and transmitting an honest signal. The signal itself out on that open 1090 frequency has no authentication, no password. We did a whole segment on that vulnerability, and space-based surveillance inherits every bit of it. A satellite is a better ear. It is not a lie detector. Third, and this is the quiet one, it's infrastructure owned by a company. The oceanic surveillance that air traffic control now leans on runs on a commercial constellation and a commercial payload operated by a private business. That's a very different arrangement from a government radar station, and it raises fair long-term questions about resilience, about who pays, about what happens to a safety-critical global utility if the commercial ground underneath it shifts. Those aren't reasons not to do it, they're reasons to think clearly about it. So where does the honest timeline sit today? In 2026. This is not vaporware and it's not a demo. It's operational and it's been carrying real traffic separation for years. The North Atlantic reduced separation trials matured into routine operation. More oceanic and remote regions have come online as their air navigation providers signed on. Across the North Atlantic, the polar routes, stretches of the Pacific, and remote continental airspace where ground radar never reached. The next chapter is broader adoption by more countries. Tighter separation standards as the safety data accumulates. And integration with the next generation of air traffic management tools that assume, for the first time, that controllers can actually see everything. Here's the part I find genuinely beautiful as an engineer. Nobody had to change a single thing on the airplanes. The jets crossing the ocean were already broadcasting their positions, automatically, into the void. The information had been there the whole time. The innovation wasn't a new signal or a new box in the cockpit. It was realizing that the answer was already in the air, and all anybody had to do was climb high enough to listen. The reporting behind today's segment draws on published material from Aireon and Iridium, and on the operational data put out by NAV Canada and NATS on the North Atlantic separation trials. You can find the rest of what we do at radiohangar.com. Next time you're at altitude and you think you're alone up there over the water, remember something 480 miles above you is listening, and for the first time in the history of flight, nobody's invisible anymore. I'm Vector. Fly smart.